At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director and Founder of the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's very clear that we live in a time of great division, where passions run high and civility is either wearing thin or it's non-existent altogether. And joining me on this edition of the program is Heather Irby, the Community Director of Meeting of America's Kentucky Pilot Program. Heather, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is great that we can, first of all, have a civil conversation, right? And not like you and I wouldn't, but that's one of the things I think that we miss in our country is that we have freedom to sit down and talk about tough issues, controversial issues, without fear of the government stepping in and threatening us, or even for the most part, without fear of other people stepping in and threatening us. But that's beginning to change. I recall another tense time in our country's history during the Cold War when John F. Kennedy, in his first inaugural address, said this: "So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is subject to proof." And I think that, in a sense, we're in a Cold War today between two political parties, two political factions that feel very strongly about their beliefs and priorities and their agendas. But we've gotten to a point where there's almost a breaking point where we've lost the idea of civility, haven't we?
We have. It's scary. It's become really scary in a lot of ways to see the breakdown of families, the breakdown of friendships, the breakdown of communities over the issues that we feel so passionately about, which we rightfully do. But we have been, I think, conditioned by, I think, the media, the social media included to that, and also the sport of professional political partisanship. We have been conditioned to see each other as our enemies. And your idea and my idea may not mix. We might have the oil and the water of our ideas, but we are not each other's enemy.
No, and that's a good point. Now, of course, we believe strongly in certain values and principles at the Commonwealth Policy Center. I know you have certain principles and values that you hold dear, and people listening to this program right now, I'm sure they come from all across the political spectrum. And we are not suggesting for a minute, you're not suggesting for a minute, nor am I, that we should water down our values, that we should forget our values, but we need to have a reemphasis on civility. So Heather, tell me a little bit about Meeting of America, how you got started, and what you're all about. Tell us a little bit.
Thanks for asking. I am so excited about this project. Meeting of America is a new national project with the goal of bringing people together from all different walks of life to have a unifying conversation about why we love America. So that's the general idea, bringing all kinds of people together from the business people to the stay-at-home mom to the farmers to the pastors and everybody in the middle, the business people, everybody to come together. And though we have many different personal convictions and personal ideas, to start bridging the gap, bridging the divide by talking about what unites us. And that is a common love for the greatest nation on earth.
Yeah, and that is something that we need to refocus on, isn't it? What is it that unites us? We live in an age of identity politics, a day of division where whether it's the political parties that want to divide us or certain political pundits and talk show hosts that want to divide us to ratchet up their ratings, there's so much division all around us. Heather, have you had personal experience with seeing division or seeing incivility that's prompted you to get involved with this? How did you get involved with the Meeting of America?
That's a great question. Well, I think in order to tell that story, I'd have to start with a little bit about me and how I grew up, and then kind of the way that everything was shaped with my values, and then where I was when I really had a turning point.
Yeah.
I was raised in a culture, in a family that was very conservative, but we did not talk politics. I didn't know anything about politics, but I was also raised with being immersed in the arts and sports and academics. So my entire life, I've been around all kinds of people from all different walks of life. And so I learned from a very early age that people are people, but people are different, but people are people. And just to love and accept people for who they are. And so moving forward, I began to run a business and started working with all kinds of people from all over the nation. And my family's all over the nation too. So I'm not tribal in the sense of, I'm only a northerner or I'm only a southerner. I've got family coast to coast and everywhere in the middle. So I have been very shaped by the commonality of the love for America my entire life. And so in the business world, it's not a wise strategy to present your personal political views in that culture. And so I just didn't, got along with everybody. And as I began to grow and understand what is a conservative, what is a liberal, what does the Republican Party stand for, what does the Democratic Party stand for, I began to really understand my own values, that I am a conservative, that I believe in conservative principles, and that's very important to me, but I wasn't engaged politically. In fact, I joke and I say, I slept all through Obama, missed the whole thing, slept right through it. And then Trump came on the scene and I woke up and I thought, wow, I should pay attention. This is an important conversation. And so I just started paying attention, listening to what he was saying, listening to how other people were responding to what he was saying. And I found myself agreeing with a lot of what he was saying. And he just sounded so different than the other politicians of the day. So in that process of waking up and becoming more aware of what the issues really are and what's going on in our nation and our world, I also began to feel a pull to become activated, to get involved. Mm-hmm. So I started volunteering. I volunteered with a congressman's campaign in 2018, a mayoral campaign in 2018-19, and then also, I should say 2018, I guess they were happening at the same time. Yes. And then in 2020, got a call to also volunteer down at the Fayette County GOP office. And I was thrilled. I was so excited. It was the same time as COVID. I thought, well, this is great. This is a wonderful time to spend my time doing this because so much of my business had shut down with all of the strict restrictions and regulations and all of that. So I got involved. But when I walked in for the first time, I had come with this this desire. Seeing what I'd been seeing since 2015 and really waking up, I just thought, you know, the Republican Party is changing. It's bringing in a lot of people that had never been a part of the Republican Party before because of what Trump was saying. And so I started seeing that if people could just listen to each other, we would find out that we have a lot more that we agree on than what divides us. And so I walked in to that volunteer season thinking, this would be great. Like, we'll just get people from all sides to talk to each other. And, you know, I think they just thought that that was a cute idea and that we had elections to win and maybe go knock some doors would be a better idea. And though I understood that, because we do have elections to win, because it is a battle for ideas and it is a battle for the soul of our nation. And I'm on board with that. I think there's a place for that. We have to have it. I also felt disappointed and disconnected from the idea that the partisanship was the answer. I knew that there was something bigger. And so I started walking, going around, talking to kind of everybody that I know, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea if we could get leaders from this side to talk to leaders from this side, and maybe we could have a community forum. And so, you know, what if we could do that? And it was always met with, that's interesting, go knock doors. That's a, you know, an interesting idea. So anyway, fast forward to 2021, I had a divine appointment with a friend of mine who we just happened to be at a right place, right time. And she looked at me and she said, how's it going with the GOP? Because at that point I had been appointed to the executive committee and I was really getting involved and loving it. And I said, I love it. I really love it. And there's so much value here. But I said that nagging feeling that there needs to be something that unites us is not going away. And she said, what are you thinking about? And I said, I showed her my idea. I said, I think that it'd be great if we had people from this side talking to people from this side and we had a community forum. Wouldn't it be great if I could explain why I believe the conservative platform, if I could explain my ideas and somebody from the opposite side could in a healthy way explain theirs, wouldn't it just be great? So fast forward another year, it's now 2022, and I get a phone call. And the phone call basically says, do you remember that conversation that we had a year ago at our divine appointment? And I said, yes. She said, now's your chance. Mm-hmm. This is the chance. And so I got a phone call from a friend who had received a phone call from the Babbages. And it just unfolded from there. And I could not, when I learned about Meeting of America, I could not believe what I was hearing. I was soaking it up, just really so excited. It felt just right time, right opportunity. And I think our nation's ready for it.
No, that's good. And of course, you're referring to Bob Babbage, was the former Secretary of State in Kentucky years ago. And I want to add something, Heather. This idea of civility really should not be a partisan issue. Civility and civil discourse and respectful dialogue benefits people across the political spectrum, doesn't it? So you know, I'm excited about this because I think of the work that Commonwealth Policy Center does, and we cannot do our work influencing the legislature, influencing election, unless there's a baseline of civility, unless there's people that are willing to listen, people that are willing to be respectful, somebody willing to uphold my free speech rights. But in order for that to happen across the Commonwealth, I need to be willing to uphold somebody else's free speech rights. That means that you're not threatening, you're not canceling. It means that you engage somebody carefully. My deepest conviction and what drives me on this issue of civility, and really it's an undergirding principle of the Commonwealth Policy Center, is the biblical principle that we are all made in the image of God. That means that we all have inherent dignity and value, and that means that I can't cancel somebody because I don't like their idea. It means that I'm not going to shout them down because I don't like their perspective on an issue. It means that I'm going to value them because they are precious in God's sight. Might very much disagree with them politically, but I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to be respectful to them. And then when it's my turn to speak, then I'll speak. And I think I'm hearing that from you too. How does biblical principles, how do Christian principles factor into what motivates you with this project?
No, absolutely. And I'm glad that you did, because Christ is the foundation of my entire life. I had a very dramatic experience in the welcome into the kingdom of God when I was in my early 20s. And from that point on, it has been very clear to me that he is everything to me. He is all that I am, and that I'm nothing without him. So for me, having that foundation and then building upon that allows me to be able to desire peace. It allows me to be able to desire unity. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Yeah. And so I believe that as a Christian, it is a priority. It is a tenet of our faith. It is a mandate from the King himself, make peace. You know, he said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. What he was meaning by that is that he came to draw the line and say, we are all sinners who need a savior. And so as that, we are all equal at the cross. And then it is our responsibility as those who have accepted him, live by his ways, live by the standards of the kingdom, to then say, okay, I will reach across. I will meet you face to face. I will see you as a child of God. Until maybe you see yourself that way, I'm still going to see you that way. You know, I love what you said about seeing people in the image of Christ, in the image of God. And that's how we are to treat each other. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, no, thank you. Heather, we're going to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, this is Richard Nelson here with Heather Irby of Meeting of America. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Policy Center, and we are talking about civility. And Heather, just before the break, we were talking about biblical principles as we engage this issue, and that's what drives me. My commitment to Christ, my commitment to biblical principles really undergird the work I do here at CPC. But it also has really been impressed upon me in recent years that when it comes to incivility, when it comes to the ugliness, and when it comes to the cancel culture, that Christians need to take the lead to restore civility. And I'm reminded of the passage in Colossians 4:6, which says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And this is a command. It's not an option. It's not just when you feel like it. Sometimes, some days, be gracious. No, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. And I'm afraid that as Christians, I see it too often, that there's a lot of anger, there's frustration, and it spills over into the political realm. One of my concerns is that if somebody who identifies as a follower of Jesus constantly comes across as being angry and frustrated, that's not very attractive, is it?
No, and it's completely understandable. We have that human side. You know, I think that it is both. It is a mandate to love and to be gracious and to be slow to anger and slow to speak. But I also understand the very human side of fear. You know, fear is a very vicious animal. Mm-hmm. And it seeks to separate. It seeks to isolate me from you, because if I see you as my threat, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And that's what's going on in our nation right now. I think that, you know, the things that we have been through recently as a nation, from the recent pandemic and creating the fear of sickness and death and the fear of our liberties being stolen, the fear of destruction of our nation through open borders and the deep corruption within our borders, you know, all of these things are just building fear upon fear upon fear. And when people are afraid, they will do whatever it takes to protect themselves from the threat that comes against. And so what I know as a believer, what I know as a daughter of the King, and what I also know that the Meeting of America Project is doing, is saying, okay, we understand we are in scary times right now, but I think we have something greater to fear than even those legitimate and large fears that I just mentioned. And the greater fear that I feel is the fear of losing our nation by the division and the destruction within. And so what I love about what Meeting of America is doing is it's a grassroots, we the people kind of movement that are saying, if we can just see each other as humans, if we can see each other as fellow Americans, then we can lay down our weapons, look each other in the eye, and let's just start the conversation by what unites us. What do we love about the greatest nation on earth? And so I believe that's going to build upon build upon build and create a culture, a new culture of civility and respect and honor for each other as citizens of the greatest nation in the world.
Right. So the idea of God is part of our founding political document. The idea of rights that come from God, that's part of our founding political document. And I would say, to your point about these very real fears that are there, open borders. We've had a mass immigration, illegal immigration crisis, the corruption in high places. That's a real threat. Out of control government spending, very real threat. These are things that we should be aware of and care deeply about. But it seems to me that one of the bigger threat is that core American ideals are eroding. First Amendment ideals, freedom of speech. And by that, I mean this: when one group or a media outlet thinks that one idea is so dangerous, just a political idea, we're not talking about violence or insurrection. When somebody believes that an idea is so dangerous that we need to cancel you, that's a threat to our First Amendment freedom. When it comes to religious freedom, again, a First Amendment protected freedom, there are some who want to redefine religious freedom to keep it simply to what goes on in the church and not allow people of faith to live out their beliefs in public or in their workplace. That's a very real threat as well. So it seems to me what Meeting of America wants to accomplish is to bring all sides of the aisle, of the political aisle, back to some core American founding principles. Is that correct?
It is. It's basically saying there's a place for politics. There's a real place for it. And we need to have R's and D's and I's battling it out in the arena. But meanwhile, what's happening is that we, the people, if you'll take the metaphor of being in the arena, and we'll have the players of the politicians in the middle of the, whatever you want to say, rank or field or whatever it is, we, the people, are in the stands. And we're battling for ideas, we're cheering on our teams, and that's great. We have a place for it. What Meeting of America is simply suggesting is that perhaps we have been too focused on our individual teams. Perhaps in the pursuit of trying to find the best ideas and put those forth to preserve our nation, we have also lost that we are Team USA, that we're a part of something much bigger. And as Christians, we're part of something even bigger than that. We are part of Team Kingdom of God. So I think that when we get so laser focused on those issues, which again, I cannot stress enough, they are so important. They are paving the future of what our nation will become. So we can't let up on that. But when the game is over, the teams need to shake hands like good sportsmen and get off the field and remember that all of us, the R's, the D's, the I's, and all of the grassroots, everybody, we are Team USA.
I like that, Team USA. We had a conversation a while back about the movie Miracle, which is about the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and how they beat the Soviets, a team that was never supposed to be beaten by this group of college students who worked really hard. But I remember I actually listened to the last 5, maybe 10 minutes of that game on the radio. Didn't see it on TV, but I remember the thrill of listening to Al Michaels as he was counting down the seconds, really, to the victory. And one of his things, and of course, the movie Miracle is based on his line. He says, "Do you believe in miracles?" And of course, it was the U.S. winning against the Soviets. And that movie, I think, encapsulates that American spirit. We, as a nation, it didn't matter what your political party was or your political commitment was. We rallied around the U.S. hockey team. There's a bigger story, though, because we're in the middle of the Cold War, right? And the Soviet Union they were the bad guys. And here we were going up against them with some young college hockey players and one of the great upsets in sports in the 20th century. But I think of that miracle of the 1980 U.S. hockey team, and I think we need another miracle today to bring this nation together. And again, I need to reemphasize, Heather, that we're not talking about watering down any principles, but we're at a breaking point. When you see what happened on January 6th with the mob violence in the U.S. Capitol, when you've seen what's happened with those who've been certifying elections right after the 2020 presidential election, several people have been threatened. Death threats, threats of violence, that has no place in our politics and in the public sector. So we've got a lot of work to do, don't we? Here's the question I have to you. How do you get that person who's in the stands, as you mentioned, so to speak, out of the stands and into the arena to, first of all, care about this, to care about the idea of civility? And then secondly, what can they do?
Well, I'm so glad that you brought up Miracle, because if you didn't, I was going to. So I'm so, so glad that you did. It is one of my absolute favorite movies. So before I answer your question, I'm gonna answer your question, but I'm going to also go back to Miracle for just a second. Yeah. And there is, you know, the premise, if you haven't seen the movie, and if you haven't, I consider that a national mandate before anything else. You must see that movie because it is so crucial to where we are today. It's a part of our history. But what I love so much is that, you know, these hockey players were brought in to play for the United States, and they were primarily from Massachusetts and Minnesota. And so those teams, those collegiate teams, hate each other. And hate is a strong word, but I would say it's it's erring on the side of kind compared to how they actually felt about playing each other. So Coach Herb Brooks had quite a challenge on his hand. How do you get people that hate each other viscerally have emotional anger reaction to each other to come together and play for the same team against a common enemy? And so there's a great struggle in the process of doing this, but there's a scene in the movie that I absolutely love. And the coach was known for his drills. You go from the halfway point, I think, to the goal, and then you go from one side of the rink to the other. And then he would stop them, and he would individually call them out and say, what is your name? And they would answer their name and then who they played for. You know, I'm so-and-so Boston College. I'm so-and-so University of Minnesota. And so after, I think it was the Sweden game, I think they were in Sweden, and they had been playing like they didn't even care. You know, they were more focused on who was in the stands than they were about the actual game. And so after, Coach Herb Brooks was so mad that he shut down the rink and had them do their drills. And this is the scene in the movie that gets everybody by the heart. So if you haven't seen it, I want you to see it, because this is what Meeting of America is doing. And so he is drilling them, having them go back and forth and exhausting them. And finally, you hear out of nowhere, he wasn't asking people who they play for, but out of nowhere, Mike Urizioni says, "Mike Urizioni." And Coach kind of perks up and he says, "Okay." Says, "From Winthrop, Massachusetts." And then he goes, "Who do you play for?" And he said, "I play for the United States of America." And Coach Herb Brooks finally gets that feeling of, that is what I've been after. And he says, "That'll be all, gentlemen," and dismisses them. And so the premise of Meeting of America, really quickly, is that the name on the front, he says about the jerseys, he says, the name on the front is more important than the name on the back. We've been wearing our jerseys, our jerseys, our D jerseys. And what I would like to present to America right now is that the name on the front, Team USA, is more important than the name on the back.
Now, that's great. Heather, love what you're doing. Great job. We're just about out of time. Tell us how people can get involved with Meeting of America.
We are looking for 10,000 people from 40 specific counties within Central and Eastern Kentucky to sign up at meetingofamerica.us. And to participate in one online conversation, group conversation. You'll be broken up into small groups. You will have the option, if you like it, if it's worth your time, to continue on to a second meeting or a third. But what we're asking everybody to do is sign up to participate in one meeting with five people that you've never met before, who come from different walks of life,